From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled The Third Missionary Journey, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 38. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant. There are many occasions in our experience when we may very rightly and with benefit renew our covenant with God. After recovery from sickness, when, like Hezekiah, we have had a new term of years added to our life, we may fitly do it. After any deliverance from trouble, when our joys bud forth anew, let us again visit the foot of the cross and renew our consecration. Especially let us do this after any sin which has grieved the Holy Spirit or brought dishonor upon the cause of God. Let us then look to that blood which can make us whiter than snow, and again offer ourselves unto the Lord. We should not only let our troubles confirm our dedication to God, but our prosperity should do the same. If we ever meet with occasions which deserve to be called crowning mercies, then surely, if He hath crowned us, we ought also to crown our God. Let us bring forth anew all the jewels of the divine regalia which have been stored in the jewel closet of our heart, and let our God sit upon the throne of our love, arrayed in royal apparel. If we would learn to profit by our prosperity, we should not need so much adversity. If we would gather from a kiss all the good it might confer upon us, we should not so often smart under the rod. Have we lately received some blessing which we little expected? Has the Lord put our feet in a large room? Can we sing of mercies multiplied? Then this is the day to put our hand upon the horns of the altar and say, Bind me here, my God, bind me here with cords, even forever. Inasmuch as we need the fulfillment of new promises from God, let us offer renewed prayers that our old vows may not be dishonored. Let us this morning make with Him a sure covenant, because of the pains of Jesus, which for the last month we have been considering with gratitude.
Thank you.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. In the concluding verses of Acts chapter 18, we find the Apostle Paul persevering in the spread of the gospel as he retraces his path across Asia Minor to strengthen and encourage the churches which he had planted during his second missionary journey. Such was his zeal for Christ that he did not spare himself in the work of God. The passage introduces us to Apollos, a Jewish believer whom the Bible describes as an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, and fervent in spirit. Although his knowledge of Christ was limited, he preached what he knew of the Lord with great power. Apollos stands as a wonderful example to all believers to give our best efforts for Christ and his kingdom. Now to introduce a message called The Third Missionary Journey, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now we're turning in our studies in the book of Acts to the end of chapter 18 and through chapter 19. Acts chapter 18, verse 23, commences the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. Now, those of you who are keeping an eye on carefully in what we have been studying will know that I have had to leave out a few verses because I can't do a verse-by-verse study of Acts, otherwise we'll never finish it. And there is a little difficulty in there in that passage that I have left out, and I'm not leaving it out for the difficulty because of the vow which most people take Paul to have taken upon him in Cenchrea. Well, sufficient to say that I believe that the order of the language, both in the Greek New Testament and even in the English, although it's not altogether clear in the English because of the punctuation, I believe that the order of the words tends to indicate that it was Aquila who had the vow taken and not Paul. But that's only my opinion. I'm not going to make it a matter of fundamental doctrine. And we must leave that first visit of Paul to Ephesus and today major upon his return visit to Ephesus, which we have in chapter 19. But at the end of chapter 18, we have a very interesting reference as to how the early churches were established and strengthened and how the work of God went forward. You will notice in verse 23 of chapter 18, "And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening the disciples." The churches were strengthened by the apostles' visitation, that without sparing himself, selling out entirely to God, he did everything in his power to ensure that the work of God was as strong as it could be. Now, of course, there's a lesson there for this preacher. And there's a lesson there for every Christian. I would to God that we could get that lesson. Do we see weaknesses in the church? Yes, we do. We would be foolish were we to seek to deny it. But it is not sufficient to identify the weakness. We must go further. And by our own consecrated efforts for the glory of God, we must spend and be spent to eradicate those weaknesses and to strengthen the work of God. In other words, we ought first of all to see what needs to be done, and then by the grace of God, we ought to go and do it for the glory of the Lord Jesus. The church was strengthened by Paul's visitation. And this church can be strengthened as not only this preacher, but as this people individually apply themselves to doing everything which God has laid at our hand to do to establish and edify and strengthen the work of God. And then from verse 24 through to 28, we have a special reference to Apollos and his vindication of Christ. Now, I was tempted to do a character study on Apollos. He's a very interesting character. But I desisted from that for the simple reason that if I stopped for every few verses that held something of special interest for me, we would never get to the end of chapter 28, and I have determined simply to sum up each chapter from here on in so that we can get through the whole book. But let me make mention of Apollos. Verse 24, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently," the word means accurately, "the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." And it's the same word as we have diligently in verse 25. And more accurately, they expounded to him the way of God. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You can see how the church, first in Ephesus, and secondly in Corinth, was strengthened by the mighty vindication which Apollos gave of the Lord Jesus. Now, the description given of Apollos here, I think, affords a glowing example for every Christian to follow. Notice that we have four details about Apollos. First of all, in speech, he was eloquent. Secondly, in Scripture, he was mighty. Then we read, in spirit, he was fervent. And finally, in service, he was instant. Now look at those things carefully, and you'll find not only a study in the character of Apollos, but I think you will find an example for you and for me to follow. In speech, he was eloquent. His talented tongue was consecrated entirely to the Lord. We read that he was a Jew of Alexandria. Alexandria was the second city of the Roman Empire. It was the most celebrated center of Jewish scholarship and learning in the world. It was well known for its schools of rhetoric. The eloquence that was taught in Alexandria was the most stylized eloquence in the ancient world. And here's a man with all the learning of the schools of Alexandria. A man who has a golden tongue. A man who could well look for fame and fortune in the theater or in the schools of the poets or among the great playwrights or philosophers of his day. But he takes that golden tongue and he lays it at the feet of Jesus Christ. His talented tongue is consecrated to the Savior. Now, my friend, you and I may never have the oratory of an Apollos. Let me rephrase that. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me, and I will never have the oratory of an Apollos. But what we can do, we can take the tongue that God has given us, and we can consecrate it to the Lord's use. And this tongue ought to be forever speaking of Jesus Christ. My, that's the secret of revival. Let me tell you, in the early church, when we turn to Acts, we tend to look at Peter's sermon and say there were 3,000 saved in Pentecost through Peter's sermon. Now, that may be an accurate way of putting it, but I doubt it. I believe that Peter was preaching in Pentecost, but I believe that they all spoke in other tongues. They all spoke in foreign languages. They weren't babbling to the clouds above them. They were speaking to men. Every man that knew Jesus was talking about Jesus. Every man who had a knowledge of Christ could not hold it to himself. The tongue consecrated to the glory of God and to the extension of his kingdom. My friend, let me say this to you. I believe in a church, and I believe in the kind of church where from the pulpit the preacher preaches Christ in his fullness, but I believe in a church from which the people go out with tongues of flame for the glory of God and with the love of Christ, and they start gossiping the gospel, they start telling of Jesus, they start pleading with sinners, they start going after the ungodly. I believe in people who are like Apollos, and they take the tongue that God has given them, and they say it shall speak well of Jesus Christ. That's it. First thing about Apollos. And then notice is the mention of him being mighty in the Scriptures. That speaks of a scrupulous study of the Word of God. And that scrupulous study was also consecrated to the Lord. He spent time in the Word. This mighty in the Scriptures, I take it to indicate that it is saying Apollos went through the Old Testament Scriptures, finally, in detail. He found everything that those Scriptures taught about the Lord Christ. He got to know the book so that he had a grip of Scripture and Scripture had a grip of him. And then he took that scrupulous study and he led it at the feet of Jesus. And he says, every iota of my knowledge will be given to the furtherance of the gospel. It was given over to Christ. I fear sometimes that there are folk who study the Scriptures and they are like people who take the sword in their hand and they hold it up and they say, what a wonderfully jeweled handle it has. What a beautiful scabbard we keep it in. How it glints in the sunlight. Is that what a soldier ought to be doing with a sword? No, we ought to be studying the Word, to employ the Word, to use the Word. He was mighty in the Scriptures. And that mighty knowledge of God's Word was not locked up in himself. He kept giving it out for the glory of the Lord. Now, people could see Apollos as he spoke. Their senses could discern his eloquence. They could understand his learning. But there was something that they couldn't see. They could see the effects of it, but they couldn't see it in itself. And that was the heart of the man. This is always the secret. The heart of the man, in his spirit, he was fervent. There was in Apollos an eager enthusiasm. One of the biggest curses of Christian living nowadays is doing things by rote. Doing things because they have to be done. Because it's expected that we do them. Being at the church services because, well, we ought to go. Being at the prayer meeting because we ought to be there. Even worse, not being there when we ought to be there. But where is the old fervency of spirit? Where is the old enthusiasm that once gripped the people of God? My, here we come to a man, and let's say it at this stage, he was not fully instructed. He knew about the Lord Jesus to a certain extent, but he had not been perfectly instructed. He didn't have the knowledge that you and I have today. And yet, with what knowledge he had, he was fervent. And you will notice what it says. I emphasize this in the reading. He spake and taught diligently. He spake and taught accurately. As far as he knew Christ, he preached Christ. Now, he didn't know as much about the Savior as we know, but he knew enough to set his soul ablaze with love and with fervency and with enthusiasm, and he couldn't keep it to himself. Of course, you can only ever preach Christ as far as you know him. You can only ever teach others what you know yourself. And if you ever get to witnessing to other people something that you've learned out of a book, or something that you believe because you mentally assent to it, but you don't know it in experience, my, they'll cotton on very quickly. They'll know it. If I get up to you and preach something that I am not myself in the experience of, then your own heart will witness to that fact and will condemn my experimental ignorance. You can only preach Christ as you know him. And Apollos certainly preached with eager enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm was consecrated to the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.